The Shadow of the Sphinx exhibit is on display through November 25th at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica. Ancient Egypt and its fascinating culture and its impact are explored in the exhibit, which contains ancient Egyptian works never before brought together from private collections and museums. Shadow of the Sphinx, Ancient Egypt and its Influence has been packing them in, and we're joined by Anna D'Ambrosio, D'Ambrosio. Director and Chief Curator of the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum of Art, to tell us about the exhibit and what's on display besides a really cool cat mummy.
The cat mummy is pretty cool. Children certainly love it. But what we've done is brought together great ancient Egyptian artifacts and show how they have influenced over 200 years of Western art. So while people are drawn in to see things like the cat mummy, the gold amulets, the wonderful late dynastic coffin, then they will also see beautiful objects, 19th century objects in silver, ceramic, dress, paintings, right up to the 20th century. So I say the show kind of goes from the sands of ancient Egypt to the stage sets of Hollywood.
Is there an idea going into this? Did you know that you were dealing with something that could be successful in the sense of what the popularity of this material is?
I think people continue to be fascinated by ancient Egypt. I mean, we see it in our everyday lives, whether it's in the movies or in decoration, and we're fascinated. You know, I ask the question, why? Is it the magic of it? Is it the promise of eternal life? Is it the glamour from the movies? But people continue to be fascinated by ancient Egypt.
Do you have a sense of why?
I think it's maybe the whole combination. I mean, certainly when you think about how ancient Egypt was glamorized with opening King Tut's tomb and the consequent movies in the early 20th centuries, then the kind of terrifying movies of the last decade of The Mummy, but still there's that mystery. And when you combine that with the promise of eternal life, I think you have a pretty good package.
Oh, eternal life. when you look at the museum itself, why does your institution lend itself so well to an exhibit like this?
Well, the Museum of Art at Munson Williams Proctor in Utica has a collection of American art, predominantly from the late 18th century through modern and contemporary. So within that collection, we have material that is part of the Egyptian revival, and some of which you will see in the exhibition. And we also want to bring exhibitions to our general public of things they wouldn't see normally in Utica or other places. So it really was a perfect combination of showing the influence of ancient Egypt on Western art and building from our own collections.
When you talk about building your own collections, let's talk about your baseline and then where you went elsewhere for other material. What did you have that you said, okay, this is a good starting place?
Well, we have some decorative arts in our collection. We have a 19th century American decorative arts collection in addition to painting and sculpture. And within that, we have pieces that are Egyptian revival. For example, a mantle garniture. It's a glorious clock and pair of obelisks heavily decorated with sphinxes and fake hieroglyphs made by for Tiffany & Company and sold by Tiffany & Company in the late 19th century. So we had objects like that as a starting point. We also borrowed from the Dahesh Museum, which is based in New York City, a collection of their Orientalist paintings. And those are 19th century American and European artists who traveled to Northern Africa, spent time in Cairo and other places in Egypt, and painted beautiful scenes of what were believed to be ancient Egypt, as well as historical scenes of contemporary Egypt during the 19th century. So we used our own objects and the Dahesh collection of paintings kind of as a starting point for the exhibition.
And then from beyond, you had a wish list, I assume.
We had a wish list, right. So I had some wonderful colleagues with whom I worked, Dr. Peter Lacovera, who's an Egyptologist actually based in Albany and also associated with Emory University at the Carlos Museum in Atlanta. And he was a great help helping us pull together the ancient Egyptian artifacts. We have a section of the exhibition that focuses on 19th and early 20th century jewelry and the influence of ancient Egyptian motifs in jewelry. And I worked with a colleague named Janet Zapata, who's a jewelry historian. So I had a good team.
And in that team, you put together, as you say, this incredible It's an epic. I mean, you're going from to ancient Egypt to today.
Right.
And so there's large gaps. But you look at what of how that has continually influenced
Absolutely.
Our society.
We trace kind of the markers in the 19th century. So you've got Napoleon's campaign, 1798 to 1801. And that really is the rediscovery of ancient Egypt for the West. And he brought with him a team of artisans who documented all of the details of ancient Egypt, as well as what was then contemporary Egypt, and published it in a multi-volume set that was published between 1809 and 1829. That's how detailed it was. We have some of the images from that set, and that introduces the 19th century aspect of the exhibition. But when people enter the exhibition, of course, what they first see are things like the mummified cat and the gold amulets and the coffin in our tomb section of the exhibition.
And that's always what, from my understanding of doing many of these interviews with museum directors like yourself who feature mummies, that's like the
people are
that's
fascinated.
The draw.
Right.
Well, especially
people are fascinated.
Kids.
Absolutely. I mean, there's such great stories with the myth behind the objects and the symbolism. We have different styles of mummy masks in the exhibition, so it's an absolute draw.
And you don't get to say esophagus quite enough.
No, not too often.
When you look at the actual the preservation of the objects, I mean, that in and of itself is fascinating that they've been around for so long and seem to be, I mean, obviously there is a delicacy, but that they'll hold up.
It is amazing when you think about the mummy mask, for example, that are several thousand years old and that the colors are still so rich, or on the coffin that's included in the exhibition. Again, beautiful colors, and that the designs still seem modern to us, even though that they're ancient. One of the things that fascinates me is, we're fascinated by Cleopatra.
Yes.
And that Cleopatra is closer to us in time than she was to the building of the Great Pyramids. So when we think about ancient Egypt, we think about, we kind of lump it together as if it was one short amount of time, but it's thousands of years.
And in that thousands of years, you realize, and this is one of these things that comes out of such exhibits to me, is that, okay, yes, we've had incredible technological and social changes, but you know what? We're still people. You know,
right,
that doesn't
right.
change. We're still human, and there's a lot of similarities.
A lot of things we've also had fun with the exhibition is some of the things that influence us that we still do today that were introduced by ancient Egyptians. So one of them, just a trivial one, would be, example, serving food on a bed of lettuce. We think,
right.
think that that's an ancient, take the first labor strike happened in ancient Egypt.
Well, sure. You assume it doesn't take long before you say people work, before people say, not for that.
Right. Right.
go scratch.
Right.
So your feedback has been what? From the folks coming through, what has the feedback been like?
I think people are certainly intrigued by the ancient artifacts and then amazed about their influence in our everyday lives for the last 200 years. So whether it be in how we dress, how we decorate our homes, the jewelry that we wear, the movies that we see, and we can see that impact just time and time again.
And that movie impact is really interesting because that's a lot of...
We have a great selection of movie posters and sheet music in our contemporary and popular culture section of the exhibition.
That's very cool. What after this?
Well, next summer we're doing a great Andy Warhol exhibition.
Wonderful.
So I think that will be a lot of fun. This spring, upcoming spring, we do a biennial exhibition of Central New York artists. So that is always popular, draws from a large region. So there's always something going on, changing exhibitions, as well as our incredible permanent collection for people to come and see as well.
Tell us a little bit about the permanent collection.
Well, predominantly American art, and from the late 18th through modern and contemporary. We are known for our Hudson River School collection. People were well known for Thomas Cole's series of four dynamic paintings, The Voyage of Life. But we go right up to, Andy Warhol and contemporary artists. As I mentioned, we have a decorative arts collection. We have 19th century period rooms. We have a European modernist collection that helps inform our 20th century American art. So whether you want to see Kandinsky or Dali or Mondrian, you can visit Utica. It's a real gem of a collection and only 90 miles away from Albany.
Not too bad. It is the Shadow of the Sphinx exhibit on display through November 25th at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica. And you started in the summer, so now come the school groups, right?
Now come the school groups, and we're looking forward to that. And also on October 2nd, we have a great program. We have the former ambassador to Egypt, Edward Walker, will be speaking on October 2nd at 5:30.
Wow, October 2nd. And you can find out more information about that event as well as the exhibit and the museum itself by going to MWPAI.org. That stands for Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute. MWPAI.org and find out more information about the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica, as well as the Shadow of the Sphinx exhibit. And thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you here, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. It was nice to be here.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.